Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to the Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for today, the Big Boss, and I'm here with my boy, the Professor. What's up, man?
What's going on, brother? What's happening?
Man, nothing much. Just enjoying this lovely MLK day.
I hear you.
So let's go ahead and dive right in. We're going to do things a little differently today, folks. We got a couple segments we want to get through, so you're not only going to get the news today, but we're going to do some fun stuff, maybe some fan casting, maybe look at into what's going on this week, along with the news that you've been getting. So let's go ahead and dive right in.
All
right,
I'm with you.
All right, man. So first up, let's take a look at the weekend box office. Top three movies for this weekend is Jumanji, rounding out the weekend with $28 million. And that looks like $284 million for them so far. Coming up at number two is The Post, Steven Spielberg film, rounding out the weekend with $19.3 million. And that's totaling them at $23.7 million for their run. And rounding it out at number three is The Commuter, the Liam Neeson film that sounds very much like every other Liam Neeson film you've ever seen.
Which is probably a stupid fun action. Out the week.
I'm saying, but, you know.
I mean, but I'm not going to go see it until it's out, you know, on DVD or something.
Yeah, red box it, or, you know, wait till it comes out on Netflix.
Right.
You know. And they're rounding out their weekend with $13.7 million, and I mean it's their debut, so that's pretty much it for them right now.
Yeah, it's not terrible. Terrible weekend for a movie like that.
Yeah, not bad. Surprisingly, the Post jumped from 15 last week, so it's back up to number two. So that's good news for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely trying to see Jumanji, man. I got to get out here and see this, man.
You know, when the trailers and all first came out, I had zero interest in it. I was like, yeah, I don't really. I'm not a big Jack Black guy. I don't really want to, you know. But all the reviews I'm hearing are raving about it, saying it's really good. So I think I'm going to have to give it a shot.
Yeah, man. I'm thinking maybe this weekend I'll pop out and use my movie pass and go see that one.
There you go.
So,
yeah. Probably worth it.
Yeah, man. I'm with it. So I'm going to check that out and see what's going on. But let's go right into the geek news of the week. So we got some TV news for you. We got some movie news for you. And we're just going to go through them and give you our thoughts on them. So we got a new schedule for the CWDC shows. There's a lot of debate and argument of whether or not the new schedule has anything to do with the Andrew Kreisberg scandal that's going on right now, but it looks like most of the CW shows are starting up this week, so we're getting them back. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Because I've been waiting for these things.
It's the debut of one, I believe.
Yeah, we get Black Lightning tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to that one. But we get Supergirl.
Move on their part.
Yeah, I think we get like Supergirl for like 4 weeks, and then it swaps out that time slot with Legends of Tomorrow, and then Legends of Tomorrow for a little bit. I think till April. I want to say
something like
that. Yeah, and then back to Supergirl to finish out the rest of their season. So they're saying,
which is an interesting move.
Yeah. They're saying it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on right now, but a lot of people are arguing the opposite, that it has everything to do with the scandal that's, you know, slowing down production. But, yeah.
Well, all right. I guess that would make sense if that's slowing down production. I was going to say, it wouldn't make sense if that was just changing all the schedules, but if it's slowing down production, I guess that really would make the most sense. Yeah, tomorrow is definitely The Flash, and I think Black Lightning tomorrow. So, which would make sense. I think The Flash is probably their most popular show.
Yeah.
So you want to show that, lead that into the new show, so people will stick around and watch the new show. So that would make the most sense. And then what? Arrow is Thursday, I think. Is Arrow still on Thursday? I haven't seen the schedule this week.
Yeah, I think Arrow is Wednesday, I want to say. And what's the last one? No, I think it's what is it? Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends is not back on yet. It's still on hiatus.
Well, because Supergirl was Mondays, and it's definitely none of them are on tonight. I know that.
Supergirl's back on tonight. Yeah, Supergirl's back on tonight.
Oh, is it? Okay. So we probably just actually, well, I was gonna say I probably just missed it, even though I didn't miss it. Cause I didn't watch it.
But no, you don't watch Supergirl, man.
No, I don't. It's just the writing. So
oh
bad.
Man, I'm actually really digging it.
It
I'm
is
really digging it. This season is definitely diving into some of the more, I guess, more expanded lore of DC. We got Legion of Superheroes, man. So I'm with it.
All right, maybe I'll give it another shot. Writing has been bad. I'll say it that way. I haven't really watched any from this season, so I could be pleasantly surprised. But I stopped watching like season and a half in. The writing was just awful.
You were so mad.
Well, it's just like the show's got a lot of potential, and she's good at being
she really
Supergirl.
Is.
I just think they go off on these. Like, they feel like they have to drive these agendas down your throat, and that's the only show that really feels like it does it at certain points. And it's like, how about we make the show about Supergirl, since that's what it's called, and not the show about Supergirl's sister, you know? And I don't have any problem with her coming out of the closet. I don't have any problem with her being a gay character. I don't have any problem with you making everybody sure and aware that she's a gay character. What I have a problem with is making sure everybody knows she's a gay character every single week. I think by the third time you mentioned it, we already know. You don't have to point it out every single time she's on screen. That, to me, is just lazy, sloppy writing, and that's where I have my problems with that.
Fair enough. Alex is definitely one of my favorite characters on that show, but it doesn't have, like, her side story is, it's her action is awesome. Her action is always on point.
I like the character. I'm a fan of the character. I like the actress. I think she's very good at it. And I thought the addition of her in the crossover with Sarah was hilarious, the way they played that through, and I was okay with that. But it just felt like the last time I was watching, again, it's been a while, it just felt like every week they had to have, you know, they had to make sure you knew that Alex was gay and that this was her girlfriend, and they were all kinds of happy together. And that's fine, but don't do it every single week. Like, we get it at this point. Let's move on to something different.
Yeah, man, you got
to
catch up.
I got to catch up. I haven't watched in a while, so.
Yeah, because that
but that's what made me stop watching.
Yeah, that aspect of the show has completely changed since the last time you watched it. So I think you'll like the latest seasons. I think you'll like the latest seasons. So, yeah.
All right, fair enough. Well, the girlfriend left, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, she's gone.
The girlfriend left the show or something
like that?
Well,
no, she's there, but yeah, she's gone.
So. Gotcha.
All right. So
anyway. But yeah, the new Black Lightning being the new one's kind of interesting. I'm curious to see how that's going to go.
Now I've been hearing that Black Lightning is supposed to be in his own pocket universe. I'm hoping that that's wrong. I'm hoping that I read that wrong and that it's going to be a part of the larger Arrowverse. But, you know, either way, I'm excited about the series. So, yeah.
Well, Supergirl was in her own pocket universe when it first started.
True.
They changed
this
that
is very
enough,
true.
So
who knows? Yeah.
So you never know.
That'll be good if they do that. But yeah, it should be a good show. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow, so hopefully I can check out the premiere. If not, I'll probably watch it the following day.
Right.
So let's see what else we got up here. So we got Legion Season 2. It's going to start off this season with a time jump. I don't know how far the time jump is going to be, but there is going to be a time jump for this season premiere. So
this was one of those, the first season of Legion, I watched the first couple episodes and I did kind of enjoy it, although I was kind of lost with some of it. And I just never got back to it. And it wasn't because I didn't like it. It was just, I just never, you know, I didn't set up my DVR for it, so it wasn't recording. So I never got into a groove to actually sit and watch it. So I didn't really know enough about it to keep watching. But I've heard people say they really, really like it. So I may have to jump back. And
yeah, man.
Try to catch season one and then come back and watch season two.
Yeah, like I watched season one and loved it. Where they went, like there's a slow build up. It's a trippy show. Like it's a really trippy show. Like, to say that it's, like, really trippy is pretty much an understatement. Like, they put you through the perspective of this seemingly schizophrenic mutant that we're introduced to, and really make you feel the things that he's feeling and going through and the things that he sees. We see it all through his perspective. But
right.
But it's like, as the season goes on, there's some big reveals, there's some big twists, and some character intros that are literally dropping. Like, there's no way around it. It's really worth a look. So if you got Hulu, it's still on Hulu, I think. And I don't know if it's on Netflix, but I'm sure it's on Hulu. So. Yeah.
Well, I do have Hulu running, so I'll have to check it out. Yeah. That's how I actually watch our next point, which is the only way to watch the next point.
So, getting the news that the Runaways have been renewed for a second season. This is pretty old news. I think it's like been out for like 2 weeks, maybe. Got it over the Christmas break, maybe right after. But Runaways is a really good show, so I'm all for this news.
Yeah, I think they announced it just before the season finale last week that they had renewed them for season two. And I'm pleasantly surprised how much I actually enjoyed the show. I didn't think I was going to because I don't know enough about the characters to really get into it. My first thought was, a great show about a bunch of teenage kids with superpowers. but I really enjoyed it. Like, I was surprised. There are a couple actors I don't really care for. I'm not a big fan of the girl who plays Gert. I'm not a big fan of the girl who plays Molly. But I think they're good. Oh, I'm just calling it like it is. Yeah. I just don't think they're particularly, like all that great actors. I mean, even the kid who plays Chase is okay. I don't think he's great, but I think he's okay. But that doesn't take away from the show for me. I think the show's really well written. I think the parents are actually really well done.
Yeah.
Really well acted. It's just a fun, like, to me, it's a good show. I like it a lot. I was pleasantly surprised how much I enjoyed it. I watched every week, so I can't wait to see season two, where they're going to go with
it. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm looking forward to it because just where that show is going and all the questions that they introduced this past season, I need answers for them. So I'm looking forward to season two, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. So moving on to the movie universe, man. So we got a couple movie items that we're going to go through. First up, Black Widow, a solo film, is in development now. I believe they've also picked a writer for this.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Feige said he went through a couple different options as far as writers are concerned, but he finally decided on which writer he's going to use for this. Can't remember the guy's name. This is all good news. This is all good news because we kind of talked about this before, whether or not Black Widow could get a solo film. We would love to see, like, I know I personally would love to see, like, where her character has come from, the whole Black Widow program, what makes her tick, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
I think the unfortunate part is it's probably 3 years beyond when it should have been done.
Oh, yeah.
It probably should have been part of phase two or even maybe part of phase one, whichever you're going to be. I think they kind of dropped the ball on getting that, you know, female lead movie. And I don't know, while I know they're doing it with Captain Marvel, I don't know if that's the best one to lead with. I think maybe leading with Black Widow might have been a better option. Not that I think Captain Marvel is not going to be any good. I think it will be. I like Brie Larson. I think she's a decent actress. And I like the character. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that movie is going to be like. But I think this probably would have made more sense a few years ago to do, as opposed to doing it now. But, you know, better late than never, right? So I'll definitely be happy to see the movie. And I'm sure there'll be, you know, well, maybe not sure, but hopefully there'll be some kind of, you know, flashback with Hawkeye as to where they first meet. So maybe get a little bit more background as to how the two of them became such good friends. You know, get Jeremy Renner in there a little bit. So. Definitely looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with that. That'll be interesting. Hopefully they you know, get that out a little bit more sooner.
Yeah, maybe find out what happened in what was that? What did he say in Avengers?
Oh, we both remember
Bucharest or something.
Oh God, like not Bolivia, but
something.
I know which one. I know what you're talking. There's some country that they're both in. Where she's like, yeah, it's just like, and he's like, or no, he says it's just like. She's like, you and I remember such and such very differently.
Yeah, it's like it was something. So yeah,
that would be very funny to see that. Yeah,
some country, but yeah, I would definitely like to see the roots of that story and see where that went. But yeah, like this sounds really good. So the writer's name is Jack Schaefer, and I'm trying to find out what her credits are. Let me take a look here. So, Timer, she's a couple movies called Timer, The Shower. I mean, and. She doesn't really have a lot to her credit. Oh no. So it looks like one of the items to her credit is Olaf's Frozen Adventure, the short that nobody liked.
Oh.
So there's that.
So about that.
But you know what? I'm going to stay positive because, you know, Feige takes care of what he picks. So I'm going to trust his judgment on this, and I'm going to go with the fact that he knows the other things that she's written, and he's like, you know, Olaf's was maybe like an L, but it was only because it was unexpected, not because it was poorly written, you know? Maybe that's the case. So, you know what I'm saying? So, because that's really what it was, is people didn't like that short because they weren't expecting it, and they weren't expecting it to be that long. So.
Right. Yeah, for a short, it's too long.
So hopefully we get some more newness as far as the director is concerned. And that's really what makes it too, is the director and where the story's going to go and who the rest of the cast are. So. We'll definitely keep our ears to the airways and keep our ears to the streets and let you guys know exactly what is going on with this as it develops. In DC camp, we got the Green Lantern Corps still in development, which I'm happy they're still sticking with this. I want them to still stick with this because there's a lot of potential there, especially if they're going to tell it in the form of like the Green Lantern Corps being like space cops and you telling it in a like a cop procedural type of storytelling. Like, I love that stuff. So I eat that up. So if this keeps going, I'm good with it. I would love to see all the different Green Lanterns. I want to see John Stewart, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, all of them. I want to see them all. Kilowog, I want to see them in there. So I'm with it.
Yeah. I mean, look, the trouble we run into is their track record right now is not good. You know, you hope there's going to be some changes coming as far as, you know, what it seems like they're going to do with Flashpoint, you know, and restart certain things. You know, everything you read says Affleck is done at this point, which is kind of a shame because I thought he was good in both movies. I don't know. It's hard for me to get my hopes up on any DC movie at this point because of the, what, four or five now of the modern day that we've seen. I've only mostly liked one of them. So while I would like to see a Green Lantern movie done better than what was done before, you know, no offense to Ryan Reynolds, but it's tough to get excited about something like that when their track record has just not been good. So, but we'll see. We'll find out. I think a lot for DC is going to change over the next year or so. So
yeah, definitely. Definitely. With the change of management, with the passing of the banner, we'll see some positive changes, I think, coming in the years to come. So yeah.
Sure hope so.
Next up, we got a few X-Men changes. And all of this kind of makes sense as a result of the Disney Fox acquisition. There's going to be a lot of schedule changes as far as everything that Fox was putting out in reference to X-Men. So Deadpool 2, Gambit, and New Mutants, they're all getting new dates. Fortunately for us, Deadpool 2 got moved up, and its release date is May 18th. Gambit, right. I mean, I know it got pushed back, but were we really surprised that it got pushed back? Not really.
Not really. No.
And then New Mutants got pushed back, which was kind of surprising because it looks like they're almost done with that, if not completely done. So it got pushed back. So I don't know what they're going to what's going to happen with that. So
I was going to say, I haven't seen a whole lot about New Mutants since the trailer came out. So that it's getting pushed back is interesting. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if that means reshoots or what. So it's kind of interesting that's been pushed back, but yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, the trailer looked like the movie was pretty much done at that point when they showed us that first trailer. So who knows?
So yeah, we'll see. When they give us a date, you know, we'll definitely let you guys know, but you know, until then, we know we got pushed back, so that's what we're looking for.
And the Gambit stuff is just, yeah. There's no real surprise there.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the next piece of news we have with that is that the you know, director who was currently, you know, on board for it hasn't also dropped out now, and that's what, the third or fourth guy, or individual, yeah. I should say, who's dropped out of doing the Gambit movie.
Not a good sign.
No. It's like I was telling you the other day. I think the only way that a Gambit movie gets made at this point, especially with what's his name,
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum, thank you. Is to Deadpool it, do some kind of 2-minute, you know, quote unquote leaked footage, you know, which we know wasn't leaked from they leaked, the people who made the movie leaked it. You know, they admitted as much after the fact. You know, do something like that. Put together some kind of treatment where people could see him as Gambit, see him in some kind of action sequence. You know, that, and get the fans really pumped and behind it. I think at this point, I'm sure there's people who want to see a Gambit solo movie. I don't necessarily rank in that particular group because I was never a huge Gambit fan. I think it's an interesting character, but not necessarily maybe enough to do a solo movie for. But I know that particular character has a huge following.
Yeah.
So I think if you Deadpool it, if you do that footage and you get that out there and get the fan uproar behind it, then it could happen exactly the same way it happened for Deadpool. And all of a sudden you've got now rabid fans going, we want this movie. Give it to us. And that's exactly what happened. And look how well it turned out, you know, for Deadpool. It was amazing. So I think that's probably their best option at this point if they really want to get this movie made.
I think the funny part about it is Deadpool marketed itself as a romantic comedy. Like, they knew they were coming out at Valentine's Day, so they marketed themselves as a romance. Like, I think that's going to play to the strength of Gambit 2 when they figure it all out. You know what I'm saying? Because there is a really intense romance there. It's like, honestly, I'd say think of Romeo and Juliet with new characters, and that's basically how Gambit's story is going to play out. If they do the comics that I think that they're going to do, they're going to play to when Gambit was a thief in the Thief Guild in New Orleans, and the groups that he was mixed in with there. If they play that off really well, you got a really solid romance movie with intense action, and it could really be good. It's just, obviously, the directors don't believe in it, so you can't really get us to believe in it. So the only way to do it at this point is to really do what Deadpool did, which is leak footage. So
yeah, I think that's their best option. I really do.
So, you know, we'll hopefully we get some good news coming out of this movie in the next, you know, I don't know, coming months. But it is just going through the ringer right now. So we'll see what happens.
Been up, it's been down a lot, so we'll see where it ends up.
Yeah. So now to my most anticipated part of this podcast, we're gonna do something a little new, man. So what we're gonna do is every once in a while we're gonna come to you guys with a fan casting. Sometimes we'll do it for movies that we know are going to be made in the future but haven't been in production yet. Sometimes we'll do it with movies that are already made, and maybe we'll put like special rules on it. Like, you can time travel, so you can grab any actor from any time to fill these roles. So it'll be interesting to see how these go as we go down through our podcast. But today we're going to do something a little grounded. We know it's coming with the acquisition. We know it's we're anticipating it. Fantastic Four. So we're going to do some fan casting, man. I'm excited. I'm excited, man. Are you? What you thinking? You got some good picks for this?
I think I got some good picks for some of these people. Some of them are kind of hard. You know what I mean? Like, it's difficult to pick for certain roles because you want to pick actors that are already in other movies that you wouldn't be able to use. So it's tough for some of them. But I think I got some interesting ideas. Some of them are just pipe dreams. You know what I mean? But and some of them probably not for anybody else. Probably look at them and go, ugh, that's terrible. But I think I got some interesting ideas for some of these characters.
All right. So what we'll do is I'll shoot off my first round picks for one character, and then you shoot off your picks for them. Yeah, character by character, we'll do it like that, and then, you know, we'll just make it to the end. All right?
Okay.
All right, cool.
All right,
cool,
I'm good with that. Good with that.
All right, so we'll start off with Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, you know. For those of you who are not familiar with the Fantastic Four franchise, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people who didn't see this and a lot of people who don't care, so whatever. But he's the stretchy guy. He's the smart, stretchy guy. All right. So, Reed Richards, to me, is like he's that genius that's in a league of his own. So he finds his peace in his own mind. So for that type of character, I feel like it's only really down to two picks for me. And I want to go with the man who played the madman in a box, Matt Smith, and actor that I know that some of you are familiar with if you watch Criminal Minds, Matthew Gray. And he plays, I believe his character's name is Reed. On Criminal Minds. Yeah, so that's interesting. Interesting. I think. So those are my two picks. I'm with those two picks. I think these guys are primed to play Reed Richards and can play him in the way that I feel like he needs to be played. A man that's just in his own head at times, and just he can solve the world's problems, but he doesn't know how to interact socially. But, you know, that's how it is.
So I have three names that I kind of came up with as I was searching through some things, and it kind of depends on what kind of Reed you want, whether you want the older Reed, whether you want the handsome Reed who doesn't really know he's the handsome guy, you know, that kind of stuff. So first name that kind of ran across. Now, you and I very much agree on Matt Smith. I did not put Smith on my list just because you already had him. So I went with three different names. One guy that I would love to see somewhere in a Marvel Universe movie, because I think he's a good actor and I think he would do very well, Matt Bomer from White Collar, I think could potentially be pretty good. He would be kind of the pretty boy Reed, but he would still be pretty good. Kind of a pipe dream one, because I think he would be very good, although he'd be an older Reed, would be Tom Cavanaugh, who plays HR or
Harrison Wells.
He played Harrison Wells. Harrison Wells, yeah. Thank you. I couldn't think of his name. Harrison Wells on The Flash. Now, are you going to get Tom Cavanaugh from The Flash to play Fantastic Four, Reed Richards Fantastic? No. But I still think he'd be pretty good. And the last one I have is kind of an interesting one. I think if you want that quirky, kind of weird Reed, Eddie Redmayne would be kind of an interesting option.
Yeah, I like that.
I think to play Reed Richards. So those are my three, Bomer, Cavanaugh, and Redmayne. Yeah.
And those of you that are...
I don't know if he could do an English.
Yeah, I think he could do an English accent.
I don't know if he could do an American accent, but he would be good.
Yeah, I think he'd be good. If he does an English accent, he'd be fine on that. And for those of you that maybe are not familiar with Redmayne's work, if you're on the Geek News right now, you'd know he's on Fantastic Beasts. Like, that's Newt. That's right. That's Newt's Scamander. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Newt. Yep. I wanted him to be the Doctor, to be honest.
Oh, he would have been great. Was he in the running? I thought he was in the running.
He would have been fantastic. His name was thrown around a lot, but I don't think he was ever officially in the running.
Him and Chiwetel Ejiofor, like, those would have been two solid additions.
I love Chiwetel. Yeah. He's one of my favorite actors.
All right, so let's move on to the next line. We got Invisible Woman picks. So, So we got Sue Storm. Okay. You know, she's pretty much, to me, in my opinion, she's the heart of the Fantastic Four team. And we don't really even know the extent of her abilities, right? Isn't she considered Omega class, I think? Yeah.
I think she is. Yeah.
Super, if you're uber geeky, you know Omega class means when you're talking in mutant terms. Omega class is the baddest of the bad. Like, these guys' powers, we don't even know the extent of their full abilities. And they can really just change the world around them type abilities. So for Sue Storm, I got two picks. And my top pick, number one pick, is the mother of dragons, Emilia Clarke, plays Daenerys Targaryen on Game of Thrones. I think she would be perfect for this. Yeah, because she definitely has the feel for me of Sue Storm. And honest to goodness, in the comics for a time, I'm gonna always bring it back to Wakanda. For a time, Black Panther was he was courting. He was courting Sue Storm. You know what I'm saying? He was interested. You know, Emilia Clarke is the only woman that I really feel like could lure T'Challa. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely with her as a pick. And then my secondary pick is Alexandra Daddario. If you've watched the Percy Jackson movie, if you've watched
True Detective,
yeah, season one. True Detective season one.
That's what you want to see.
What else was she on? She was on New Girl. I know she was on New Girl for like one or two episodes. Yeah,
she was on the new Baywatch remake.
Yep, Baywatch. So, I mean, you know,
she's been on a lot of stuff.
she's putting in work. She was in that Earthquake movie with The Rock, too.
What was that
called?
I don't remember the name of it.
We'll just call it Earthquake right now.
We'll call it Earthquake movie, yeah.
So, yeah, she was in that, and she's got those stunning gray eyes. I mean, she just has an amazing look when she's on screen. And she has the type of, like, snarky attitude that I think if you wanted to play that type of Sue Storm, you could really pull – she could really pull that off, and she could do that well. So those are my top picks for Invisible Woman. Yeah.
All right. So for my top pick, I will see your Emilia Clarke as a lure for T'Challa. And I will counter with Olivia Wilde.
Oh, okay.
One of my all-time favorites.
Okay.
Who I just think is just drop-dead gorgeous. And I happen to think I think she's a good actress. I used to love her on House. She was one of my favorites. She played 13 on House, if you ever watched House. She's got a very I think there's a lot of her when she's acting that's very Sue Storm-like, got that strength behind what doesn't look like such a strong facade. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think she would be really good at that.
Yeah.
Going with the Game of Thrones theme, I kind of like Natalie Dormer as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, now, she was definitely my honorable mentions. But I like her for another character in the Marvel Universe, and I'll tell you after you're finished.
Well, and she's been in the Marvel Universe already. She was in Captain America, the first Avenger.
That's right, yeah.
She was in there very briefly, but she wasn't a major character. But she's been in the movie before, so she could potentially be brought back.
Yeah, true.
The last person I kind of looked at, it's a little obscure. I've only really seen her myself in one thing, but I really liked her. There's an actress named Carey Mulligan. If you've ever watched Doctor Who, if you've watched the Blink episode, she was Sally Sparrow.
Oh, yeah.
And she's been in a bunch of other things, too. Like, every once in a while, you see her, and you're like, oh, I know that. I know her. She was just in something not too long ago, and I wish I could remember what it was, but I can't. But she's a decent little actress. I think she would be
pretty good. What was it? She was in The Great Gatsby. That's right.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
I believe that is correct, yes.
Yeah,
She would actually be good. I think she would be an interesting choice as well.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good choice. Another role I saw for Natalie Dormer is the Enchantress in the Thor French.
Oh, you're talking about, okay.
Yeah. Now, I know that they already showed her on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think she would be a perfect Enchantress.
They did?
Yeah, they did her, like, I think that was, like, first season, because they had, remember, they had Lady Sif.
Oh, when Sif was on.
Lady Sif was on there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so.
Okay, I can see that.
At least I think that was Enchantress. Okay. I gotta look back, but I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
All right. So next up, we got the Human Torch, and I got two picks. Number one pick for me, right out the bat. You know, Johnny Storm is like hothead, pretty boy, in your face. You know, just always needs to be seen type of guy, and honestly, to me, Zac Efron's been playing these types of characters. I mean, even when you think about Baywatch, his character in Baywatch was literally, like, for me, that was Johnny Storm. That was Johnny Storm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, his, you know, the way he carried himself throughout the whole movie, it just oozed to me Johnny Storm. So I'm going with him as my number one pick. My second pick is going to be Alex Pettifer. And Alex Pettifer, if you've watched I Am Number 4, he was a lead character there. He was 4. And he was in the Alex Rider series years ago. It didn't really get as much views as it should have, because I don't know how, but Cody Banks won out as far as young kid agents, secret agents. But whatever. I mean, it's... So that's the crazy thing. Like, what was it? Alex Rider was like a young agent, but it was like so serious. It was action packed. It felt good. It's based on a book series. And you got Cody Banks, which was just like, whatever. And it just got tossed under. So, you know, but Alex Pettifer is definitely a front runner for me for Johnny Storm. He can play that cocky character. And he has a very imposing personality, and I think he would be perfect for Johnny Storm. So those are my picks.
Okay. I mean, this one was tough for me because I couldn't think of a lot of guys that I thought would be good. I mean, you and I definitely agree Zac Efron would be very, very good as that character. And I know a lot of people hear the name and they're like, ugh, really? And you're like, if you actually watch some of the stuff that he's been in, he's actually a pretty good actor. I like him in, is it Neighbors? Bad Neighbors, whatever, with Neighbors, with Seth Rogen, Bad Neighbors, with Seth Rogen, and where he plays the kid from the frat who was next door. Hilarious. They're not good movies, but they're hysterical. So I think he would be really good as his particular character. The only name I saw out there online that I thought might be interesting would be the other Hemsworth brother, would be Liam Hemsworth. Potentially as Johnny Storm, so he might not be so bad. I'm not feeling that one quite as much as I would feel the Zac Efron one, but I was having trouble coming up with other names or other people for this one, so I would probably lean on the Zac Efron pick as well, as far as Johnny Storm goes.
Okay. All right. So next up, we're gonna do The Thing, and I have three picks. We want The Thing, Ben Grimm, to be an imposing character, but we also want him to be like just the all around scrapper, ready to fight whenever it needs to go down, but competent enough to hang with Reed at least, because these two find each other in college and they kind of just develop a friendship there. So I have three picks, in no particular ranking. Dominic Purcell. He's pretty much like he's a pipe dream wish, because he's in Legends of Tomorrow. I don't really see him ever playing anybody but Heatwave.
Heatwave, yeah.
I think those DC and Marvel contracts are ironclad. So you play that role, that's the role you should play. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
My next pick is Charlie Hunnam. If you've watched what was the show that he had on What was that channel?
Was it Sons of Anarchy?
Sons of Anarchy. FX. Yeah, it was FX. So, Sons of Anarchy, he was on that recent King Arthur movie and Pacific Rim. So he's like the main character of those three films. I think he's he's good at playing like the scrapper, the knock around guy. Like he's ready for a fight whenever, and he's loyal to his friends. Like he just gives me that energy. So it's like Ben Grimm. That's kind of like what I'm looking for. My last pick is none other than Marky Mark. You know what I'm saying?
Marky Mark.
Fresh out of the hobby yacht, you know? That was a good Boston accent, if you guys...
That was spot on.
So, Marky Mark, man, I think if you want to know the role that makes me believe that Marky Mark could do this, or Mark Wahlberg, it would definitely have to be his role in Four Brothers. It would definitely...
I was just thinking that too.
Yeah, like Four Brothers, I think, like, I can't remember his character's name, but like it was perfect. It was like, that's who I think, like, this guy is loyal to a fault. Like, hey, you mess with my family, I'm coming to get you. Like, that's the type of person that Ben Grimm is. So I would definitely like to see either one of these guys in the role of Ben Grimm, the Thing.
And you know what's funny is, had this been like 10 years ago, I think Wahlberg probably would have been decent for the Human Torch.
Yep.
Because of the big hit, which is
another
terrible movie, but one of my all-time favorites because it's just hysterical. It's so
right,
bad.
Right.
So I got three. I don't have any particular order either. I got one that I've been holding off from telling the boss because I think when he hears it, he's going to lose a little bit at the idea. Kind of the pipe dream one that I think would be Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. I think he's just kind of got that Ben Grimm feel to him. I don't think he would do it in a million years, but I think he would be good. The other one I talked to you about was Sam Worthington, who was in one of the last Terminator movies. He was the main character in not the last Terminator movie, one before it, the name I forget.
Can't remember what it was.
I can't remember either. But I think he would be decent. I mean, he's not a top of the charts actor, but I think he's good enough where he would be a pretty decent Ben Grimm. He'd be able to hold his own. The one that I saw online, I admittedly did not come up with this myself, but I thought this was very, very interesting. Terry Crews.
Oh, whoa.
Think about Terry Crews playing Ben Grimm.
And you know
might
what?
I could be brilliant.
See that. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that because, yeah.
Can you kind of picture it, can't you?
Wow. Yo, I could really see that. And that would work for me. That would
work. That's what I'm saying.
Because the backstory still lines like perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm with it. This is boss approved. This is a boss approved pick.
Yeah, I thought you'd be into that one. So yeah, those would be my three.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think if I was gonna pick one to be the top out of three of them, I might actually go with Cruz.
All right. So
I think he would be a lot of fun.
So now for the piece de resistance, I know the professor really, really has some picks for this character, and he's been waiting for this character to be on screen for all his life. And we're not even going to count the first attempts as legit depictions.
No.
I don't know who that man was, but he wasn't this man, Victor Von Doom.
No. He certainly was not in any stretch of the imagination.
So, Prof, I'm gonna let you lead on this one, because I'm still trying to figure out some picks. So, yeah, go.
So, I kind of, believe it or not, as badly as I want to see this guy on screen, I was having some trouble making some picks as well because it's kind of a tough character to really kind of cast overall.
Mm-hmm.
Personality wise, I think Christoph Waltz is perfect.
Okay.
He was the main German in Inglourious Basterds. He's been at all kinds of things, and he's just a phenomenal actor, and I think he would bring that Doom persona out pretty well, but I don't think he's got the right look, so I don't know that he would work. The next one I had on my list that I just kind of put together was Viggo Mortensen. I think would be very interesting. I've seen him play Lucifer in a movie, old horror movie called The Prophecy, which is another one of my all-time favorite movies. And he was amazing as Lucifer in that movie. He was fantastic. The pipe dream that I kind of saw in a couple places online, it took me a little while to kind of really to sink in and actually really kind of agree with it, Michael Fassbender.
Okay, okay.
I think would be amazing as Doom. Now, you know, is he going to continue to play Magneto? Who knows? Probably not at this point, because I think once Marvel takes over fully, the X-Men stuff's going to get wiped clean and restarted, which would give him an opening to be somebody else. And I think him, I think he would have that that imposing character of Doom. Doom, I think he'd be really good at it. Now, Mortensen might be a little bit more so, but I think Fassbender's a better actor, personally. So I think I would probably pick Fassbender if I was going to pick one of those three.
Okay. All right. So I think I got two solid ones down. Right. And maybe I'll think of a third one while I'm saying these two picks. Okay. So first up, this is one that's going to be like out of left field. Now, I'm not as familiar with the character as the professor is, but I'm just going to take the iterations that I've seen of him, like animated and just included in other comics. I'm going to pick for my first one, not my top pick, but these are not in any order. Adrian Brody. I'm going to pick Adrian Brody. He has like a very calm, cool, collected attitude about him. And if I want to take a look at the supernatural aspects of Dr. Doom, I think Adrian Brody would pull that off very well. He just has like this quintessential coolness about him. And that's the conflict with Dr. Doom. It's like, yo, you know, this guy is a villain, but like, yo, he's cool. Like, this guy is smooth. You know what I'm saying? So if I wanted to see anybody play this role, I think Adrian Brody might be able to give us something good to look at. You know?
He just might. It's not a bad choice. I gotta tell you.
Now, going off of your Christoph Waltz pick, if this is just fresh after watching Hitman's Bodyguard.
Uh-oh.
Gary Oldman. Because I feel like that man can play like any role. I feel like he can play any role. Now, this would make Dr. Doom like he would be an older character, but if we're looking at a man who has an Iron Man type suit and has supernatural control, supernatural abilities, I believe that Gary Oldman can pull off the sadistic, cruel despot type of character that Doom can be at times. Yes, he's all about his country. Nothing else matters. Your country can be destroyed, demolished, obliterated. And as long as my place is cool, I'm good. And that's like, I feel like Gary Oldman can do that.
That would be interesting. That would definitely be very interesting.
He's definitely an older actor, but I think he could pull it off. I think he could pull it off. I couldn't come up with any third picks, so I'm going to just kind of leave it at that. If I think of anything while we're finishing up, then I'll drop it down.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Those aren't bad picks. I'm with you.
Cool. Long as the professor approves with my Dr. Doom picks.
I do. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think if I can think of anybody else off the top of my head. I really can't.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's all I can really think of.
The only other name that really crosses my mind is Christopher Eccleston, but I don't know if they would use him again since he was in Thor 2.
Yeah. I mean, he was in the makeup, so they might let him get a pass on that one.
You could get away with it.
Another guy I could throw down is he who shall not be named, Ralph Fiennes, the man who played Voldemort on Harry Potter.
Okay.
That man is an actor.
Yes, he is, and he would be very good.
Actor. Yes. So if I was going to say somebody to play Dr. Doom, somebody who I could believe would put on the accent, would kill it, still be cool, calm, and collected, and still would be the fierce, brutal leader that I would expect him to be, Ralph Fiennes could definitely do that.
Yeah, you know, I'd be okay with that. I would definitely be okay with that. That's a good choice. That's a real good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Boom. There it is. Mic drop. Oh, man. So now this is normally the section where we kind of put in a movie review. We talked about it, and, you know, we could talk about a couple movies that we saw over the past couple weeks, some movies that we didn't do reviews for, one of those being The Last Jedi. So we didn't get to do an official review for Last Jedi. So I think now we can take an opportunity to kind of talk about it and air grievances if there's any complaints.
Well,
oh, man.
I mean, I guess we're going to talk about generally for now.
Yeah.
Look, I liked the movie. I didn't love it. I thought there were some parts that were unnecessary. I thought there were some parts that should have been done a little bit differently. But I enjoyed it. You know, I can't say I didn't like it. I did. I just was, I guess I went in with higher expectations being a Star Wars movie. I was expecting to walk out going, I absolutely love that movie. And unfortunately, I just didn't. I just thought there was too much weirdness, too much hokiness in certain spots. You know, I thought one of my biggest issues was I thought the humor was really forced, whereas in some of the older movies, it's been very organic and very casual and very in place. I just thought some of it was a little bit too much. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, I enjoyed it. I didn't love it.
Right. I mean, I can say that I definitely enjoyed my time at the movies with The Last Jedi. And I don't know, and that's the thing, I don't know what the difference is as far as, I guess maybe what you're saying is the expectations. Because my expectations, I guess, weren't really high, but I was definitely pleasantly surprised. I can say that I have developed a more intense appreciation for Star Wars and Star Wars lore and just the expanded universe after watching that film and watching the rest of the films as a whole, because I got an opportunity over the summer, I mean, not the summer, the Christmas vacation to take a look at the entire franchise as a whole. I watched the prequels. I watched the original films. I watched the new films. And I watched them all together in the order that they needed to be told. And so now I'm just kind of like, all right, well, I want to know more. So finding out a little bit more about Rey's background, I think that story intrigued me the most. So I think that's what really sealed it for me, was that aspect. And I know a lot of people didn't really like that part of it, but I was like, okay, I think I can go with what they're thinking should be Rey's story arc. You know what I'm saying?
But now they're kind of backtracking on it, you know, after the fact, because ultimately you don't really learn too much about her background. You learn who her parents really are, or do you? Because a lot of what's being said now is, oh, that was just a lie. That wasn't true. What happened? You know, trying to avoid spoilers in case somebody hasn't seen it by now, which it's been out for a month. Go see it.
please do.
You know, it almost feels like there's a little bit of backtracking going on. People are saying, well, it was just a lie. It wasn't the truth what was said at the time. That's not really what her lineage is. So you wonder if Abrams is going to change everything, you know, when it's his turn again now for part 9 in 2 years. So while I did kind of, you know, it's a lot of the vitriol people have for this movie is they didn't get the background for Rey that they wanted. They wanted one thing, and we got something very different. I personally kind of think that we're probably going to see a different story when Abrams takes over. I think a lot of what was undone, let's say, in this movie, I think is going to be redone in part 9.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I would argue and say that it wasn't so much undone is that it was postponed. It was drawn out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's definitely a dramatic pause that I feel like lasted for the majority of the movie. And that's what I think that's what I think led to the kind of outrage or upset with the movie that people are feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't get the payoff that they wanted, and what they got really wasn't what they were looking for. But I think it's just because Rian Johnson was just like, we're going to hold off on this. So,
well, and that's not
normally what they do in the second movie, especially of the Star Wars franchises. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, I know this will be a shock, but I kind of agree with Kevin Smith, who, you know, his opinion was he felt a lot of this movie was kind of a big middle finger to Abrams from Johnson. Like, oh, you built all this stuff in Force Awakens? I'm going to get rid of all this stuff in Last Jedi, and then I'm going to hand the movie back to you and have fun with it, stupid. You know, that kind of thing. Like, and I tend to agree with him. If you look at a lot of things that happen, which, you know, we're not going to get into now, but a lot of things that happened in Force Awakens were really undone or unceremoniously ended in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Which left you with all of these even more questions than after watching Force Awakens. Now you're going, well, wait a minute. What about this, this, and this? Now you just basically shove them out the door and you're completely ignoring the fact that they even existed. So, I, whether that's true or not, who knows? Outside of Rian Johnson, nobody really knows. But I do agree that it did kind of feel that way. And yeah. I do think that he used some of the movie to set up the trilogy that he's going to make. You know, I think there were certain snippets here and there that kind of made you go, oh, I wonder where that's going to go. And it really didn't look like something that's going to be picked up by Abrams. Looks like it's something that he's going to come back to when he makes his trilogy.
Right, right.
That's what I thought anyway.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, overall, I think we can say consensus is definitely go check this one out.
Oh, absolutely.
We say this all the time, but I know I do. It's just like, just to be a part of the conversation, like, these stories are really good. I mean, like, and I can tell you from personal experience, I'm going back over everything. Like, I'm watching, I got all the books now that I'm trying to read and get all the supplemental. I'm checking out Clone Wars, which, side note, Clone Wars definitely helped me understand everyone's disdain for Jar Jar Binks. Oh my gosh. Like, every time that man got on the scene, it's just mayhem and destruction. It was beyond the point of, okay, he's just a little clumsy, to like, why do we even ask him to come with us ever?
I rewatched part of the first one,
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace, thank you.
Yeah.
And wow, some of the stuff in that movie is really, really bad.
Yeah, like Jar Jar's bad in Phantom Menace, but he's not there enough to be a problem. The dialogue is pretty heavy. Like, it's heavy-handed.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Even, like, talking about the fact that you've got this voiceover for these Asian-looking characters with this kind of an Asian accent, and the mouth movement that they have doesn't even match what's being said.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a bad Muppets, like a really bad Muppet. It was just, like, I'm sitting and watching them going, he's talking and his mouth isn't even moving, and then his mouth finally starts moving. You know what it is? It's like a bad dubbed kung fu flick, like an old.
Maybe that's what they were going for.
Maybe, but I'm watching them going, why wouldn't you just give them a different language and subtitle it? That way, the mouth movement really doesn't matter. You just move the mouth with whatever gibberish you have them saying, and then you write what they're saying across the bottom. Would fit 100 times better than this garbage you're giving us right now.
Right, right.
I mean, it was just like, it was almost insulting to me.
Yeah,
watching this, going, this is just like, this is a Lucasfilm? Like, this is terrible.
Right. Yeah. Because this was when it was still under George Lucas's control, so.
Yeah. I mean, but then you turn around and you create Darth Maul, who is an amazing character.
Oh, man.
And then you kill him after about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So, well, okay.
I'm starting to read, like, the Sons of Dathomir comic. So I'm definitely getting an appreciation for Darth Maul. Like, he's an interesting character. So, if you ever...
And what's...
I was going to say, if you guys ever want to get any more information for Darth Maul, just read the Star Wars comic Sons of Dathomir. Like, yo, it's intense, man. So, yeah.
What strikes me even funnier about the poor Darth Maul character is I didn't watch the Clone Wars animated show.
Uh-huh.
One of our friends, JR, was telling me about how there's this big buildup all season in the one season of Clone Wars to
yep.
Obi-Wan and Maul fighting for a second time. Mm-hmm. And it's this huge buildup. And, you know, if you don't watch the show, spoiler alert, I guess, they build up apparently the whole season for two of them to fight. They stand off, and the standoff lasts about 30 seconds before Obi-Wan kills him again. It's not even a big fight. It's like three swings of a lightsaber, and down goes Maul for the second time, for real this time.
Catching L's like a professional.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this poor guy is one of the coolest characters. It's the Boba Fett of the modern day. He's one of the coolest characters ever.
Oh, man, R.I.P.
And he just drops like there ain't nothing to him. It's just, it's awful.
Well, awful. You know, that's the to account for Boba Fett's L catching, he inherited that from his father. So
true. Beheaded by a bad mother named Mace Windu.
Oh man,
hysterical.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, absolutely. You know, if it's still in the theaters in your area, which it should be, it's still in most theaters. Definitely go check it out in the theater. It's worth viewing in the theater. I just think if you go in of a mindset of, you know, you're going to see The Empire Strikes Back, you're going to be disappointed because I don't think it's that good.
Yeah,
but it's definitely better than anything they did in the prequels. So
yeah, it's all uphill from there. So
exactly.
Oh man, so. Lastly, we'll round everything out with what's coming out in theaters this week. We got two films that are coming out. Den of Thieves, starring Gerard Butler and the talented Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. so, yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I'm not going to say that because I've heard great things about Power, and I've also heard great things about 50 Cent's character in Power. So I'm going to give him that. He has definitely been working on his craft.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Although I think his true craft is musically, but yeah, well, what are you going to do?
People want to branch out, you know, just got to let them grow.
Hey, got to let them do their thing. Yep. Got to let them do their thing.
So yeah, I mean, it looks like it's an ensemble cast, group of cops, but they get into some shady stuff. So, you know, like an End of Watch type of thing, or what's the other one? Training Day. No, well, that was a good one, but the other one by David Ayers that we really liked, the one with Keanu Reeves, the one that we liked, Street Kings. Is it Street Kings?
Oh God. Street Kings.
Yes.
Thank you. Street Kings.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Street Kings. I like that one. I have to watch it again.
Yeah. So it's like, it feels like Street Kings. So, you know, it looks like a good action flick. I'm sure it's going to be a fun action flick. I think Rico would like that. Rico would like that a lot. As long as it's got some explosions.
And it's got guns and explosions. He's a big fan of. So.
Nothing.
Otherwise, he thinks it's terrible. So
yeah, what does he know? It's horrible. It could be the most beautifully crafted film in all of humanity, and there's no explosions. This man will say,
"Yeah,
no."
Basically, yeah.
And last coming out, 12 Strong. It's a big ensemble cast. I want to say war picture. Depicting the events of what happened when American soldiers killed Osama bin Laden where he was or wherever that he was at. So it's going to be I don't know if it's, they said loosely based or based on actual events, but yeah, it looks pretty intense. I mean, honestly, it's just
got Thor in it.
Yeah, it's got Thor in it. So, I mean, if you like Thor, so you can go check him out. I'm not pulled this weekend for the movies. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not pulled this week for the movies. So I'm probably going to watch Jumanji this weekend.
Let's be honest. The boss, and myself, I will admit, has no interest in anything coming out for about, 3 weeks now?
Pretty much.
Yeah, nothing else really matters. And in all honesty, I don't know of anything that's coming out before then that's going to be really drawing crowds in anyway. I think that's going to be the winner for the first 2 months this year, hands down.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So. But yeah, Jumanji, I agree with you on Jumanji. I would like to go see that. I didn't want to see it initially, but some of the things I've heard about it makes me want to go see it now.
Yeah. And in a Kevin Hart, Dwayne Johnson team up is always welcomed here. Central Intelligence was hilarious.
Was actually a pretty funny movie.
So anything with those two guys in it, if they're going to team up, I'm with it. So
I'll check it out. I definitely want to go check it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all of various social media outlets. We're on Facebook under the Boss's Desk. Just search for us. Twitter, at the Boss's Desk. We're also on YouTube, the Boss's Desk. We're also on iTunes and Google Play. You can search for us, name the Boss's Desk, and just subscribe to the podcast. You can get these updates whenever we put them out for you guys to listen to, man. If you have any questions about anything you heard in the show, and got some news items you want us to share or talk about on the show, send us your questions, send us your news items, and just tweet at the Boss's Desk, or you can send us an email to questions@thebossesdesk.com whatever your question or your news item could be, and you might hear it here on the Boss's Desk podcast, man. So that's it for the Big Boss, myself, and the Professor. And we'll catch you guys next week. We're out.
See you.